Started at the Turnway in northwest London. Sunday, 24th of Adar Sheni, 27th of March. Dine at Dr. Thomas Schlitter, Hilchos Pesach. This week's Torah has been sponsored by families Stern and Aduna on the second yard site of their late father, stroke grandfather. Reb Zev Ben Reb Chaim Hakohen Zichron Livrochel. And also today, in memory of Reb Moshe Zev Elchanan Ben Avron Do, Neshama Shem Aliyah.
Good morning. Extra scha, and no doubt less people as a result of the clock going forward. So here we are. Yeah, just some important dinim of Hilchos Pesach that are sort of up and coming and certainly going to become relevant. I'll just firstly respond. Dain Raskin Schlitter mentions on, when was it? Was it Wednesday, Thursday? One of the days, whatever it was.
Wednesday.
So he talked about the concern that we had with the insurance, the question of the achrayus of the gemilah status of the goy. Very interesting. This is the problem. The problem, as he described it, is fair. It's absolutely right. If you take want to sell, for example, a whole shop's worth of chometz. So some of the local shops will have 100, 200, 300, 1,000 pounds of pes of chometz, or certainly chashash chometz schoira, that they are selling to, they want to sell before Pesach, and they want to sell it to a non-Jew. Sounds like a good idea. And that way, when it comes to Pesach, it's not owned by them, it's owned by the non-Jew, in which case, there's no problem of them being over chas v'shalom owning chometz on Pesach, and there'll be no problem for us to go shopping and buy what they are selling after Pesach, because it's been sold. The problem is, if you've got a packet of spaghetti left over, you've got whatever it is, some relatively small quantities of chometz, and you go to your neighbor, the goy, and you say to him, listen, we're not allowed to own this on Pesach, will you buy this? And he says, fine, with the greatest of pleasure. He says, how much does it cost? You tell him, don't worry about it. Pay me something, you don't have to pay it all to me now. He does pay it all to you, and that's it. That's the end of it. He's happy to buy it. Then he sees on the contract that of Mechiras Chometz that you have with him, the contract actually, your spaghetti, you didn't actually give it to him. It's still in your cupboards, your kitchen cupboards. But you've written where it is, and you've sold it to him, etc. In the Mechiras Chometz contract, it should say that the risk of damage, any loss to this chometz is entirely at the goy's risk. Because if I've got chometz left in my house and I've sold it to the goy, it doesn't belong to me, but the achrayus is mine. So that's Mefurashi and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tov Mem, that Eino Yehudi Shehifkir Chemtzoi Eitzel Yisrael, if a non-Jew has deposited his chometz with me, Eitzel Yisrael, and that is the status of sold chometz. My chometz that used to be mine is now sold to the non-Jew. Where is it? To my house. So if it's in my house, so then, fine, so what? It's locked up, I won't come to take from it by mistake, I won't come to eat from it, it's not a problem at all. It's all nicely locked up. But, says Shulchan Aruch, Im hu chayv b'achriyusoi, if the Israel is chayv for the achrayus migneva v'avedo, in case it gets stolen or it gets lost or damaged, bein, he says, bein shehu b'vesei, bein shehu b'chol makom b'shusei, it doesn't make a difference where it is, whether it's literally in my house or any domain that belongs to me, my shop, my office, whatever it is, chayv levaroi, I've got to get rid of it. Why have I got to get rid of it? It belongs to the goy. Says the Mishnah Berurah, explains, Bishoshi Giyaz Man HaBio, because if this is the status when the time of Bio arrives, then I'm going to be Im Ein Ho Akum Kan Shiachziru Lo, you've got to give it to him, then I'm left with Achrayus. In Halacha, if I have an achrayus for chometz, that even if it's owned by the goy, but I've got achrayus, achrayus is considered to be ownership. It's balus. It's mine. Why? It may be in English terms, we don't think of it. In English civil terms, we don't think of an insurance company being a partial, being an owner of our items. Because in civil law, the way it works is that you can take responsibility for anything. Your debt doesn't need to be yours. But in halacha, why should I have achrayus for your chafetzim? I'm an insurer. Why should I have any achrayus? It's yours, not mine. Where does that come from? How does that kinyan work? So the answer is, you can only be achroy, you can only have to take responsibility for the risk of something if you're the owner. It comes with ownership. That's what it comes. It comes, an arvus is a purely financial arrangement. But on the chosim, you have to be an owner to have achrayus. Why should I have achrayus otherwise? Explain how that works. But again, in civil law, it works differently. So in halacha, if I have responsibility, if responsibility remains with me, even though I've sold it to the goy now has it as his, it's absolutely his, signed, sealed, but not delivered. So then what happens is that I remain a partial owner in halacha in order for that achrayus to remain with me. And therefore, every self-respecting chiras chometz form must have a clause in it to explicitly say, and indeed we need to point out to the non-Jew, that the chometz that has been sold to him, although it may be, well be, in our houses, in our stores, in our stock rooms, wherever it might be, these items are at his risk. Again, if it's a small amount of chometz, and that's even though maybe many hundreds of people may have sold through the Rav, but the risk is spread to small amounts. When that's the case, so these the non-Jew, okay, what's the risk of any? Not very great. What's the chance that the spaghetti will go up in smoke? So, all right, you know, he's not worried about it. If it happens to Reuven, it won't happen to Shimon, and it won't happen to Levi, and it won't happen to Yehuda, so he doesn't mind. But the time it comes to serious holdings of chometz, so then you're talking already, what person in their right mind would, what person in their right mind would agree to own £100,000 of stock in actually holdings, physical holdings, without having them insured against fire, theft, flood, whatever it might be. So it's not a normal thing to do. So therefore, at that point already, you start saying to yourself, does the goy really mean it? So you might turn around and you might say, okay, so he doesn't mean it. It's too bad. That's what he signed and that's the way it is. I once had this discussion in a union meeting, came along after Pesach, and I said, we've really got to sort this out. I had already made sure that what I'd, basically, the shops that are sold, that I have to do with the sale, I make sure that the goy who's buying the chometz is registered in the shop's insurance policy. It's quite easy to do for a shop because a shop very simply has an umbrella flexi insurance policy anyway, because their stock that they've received that they haven't paid yet for, and they haven't paid for it yet, it still belongs to the supplier, which will be in a typical arrangement, a contract with the supplier. They won't let go of it, so to speak, ownership, because of retrieval needs in case of not paying up, that it belongs, still belongs to them. So now you have a situation where it still belongs to them, yet it's in the physical domain of the shop, of the shop's warehouse. You've got situations where it's already been sold, but it hasn't been dispatched yet, so it belongs to the, it could belong to the customer that hasn't gone out. And you've also got a flexi situation of stock coming in and stock coming out. And therefore they have an umbrella typically, which well covers what they would, the most that they would, and therefore it's typically suited to put somebody else automatically under that policy, and they're used to it. The insurance companies are used to it. So that's what we've done. I've done a sell for K's, sell for B Kosher, the one in Brent Street. So therefore, these shops, they say on it, they will have our Bayesian letter on it, saying that it's been sold in the best possible way, including putting the non-Jew on the insurance schedule, that the risk that he's taking makes sense and increases the gemiras das, that he really means to buy the chometz, and it's not just a religious rigmarole which has no meaning at all. That is the problem, if you like, and that is the partial solution. So therefore, I mean, if you stop to think about it, it's a bit ironic when you have people, Baruch Hashem, Yisrael Kadoshim Heim, putting so much effort into the chometz, the Pesach preparations, getting rid of every single crumb and every single particle of dust that might could possibly be a crumb, and getting rid of everything, and the Pesach thing, and the blias, and the kosher of Pesach, everything with the best hechsher, and there in their kitchen cupboards, they've got hundreds of kizesim of chometz, which has been sold dubiously, very dubious. Ridiculous. It's a crazy situation. And therefore, the Mechiras Chometz has to be something which is done. You don't have to sell your Chometz. You can finish it. You can throw it away. You can give it away. Who asked you to sell it? But if you're going to sell Chometz, real Chometz, for, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, make sure that it's properly sold. Otherwise, what are we doing? This is really the situation of it. So therefore, this, the Gemiras Das has to be good. At the time, other Rabbonim wanted to claim, so what? He sold, he signed under the dotted line, so he shouldn't have taken a risk, so he's foolish. But the Maisa, it's sold to the Goy. And I wanted the Taina, look, if there's something that clearly doesn't look right, it doesn't make sense, that the Goy is clear, it is Dvorim, which is Nikorim, that the non-Jew never intended to buy it, he never intended anything else. So then it affects the veracity, it affects the whole quality of the sale that's being made. The Tanda's discussion in the union meeting, and when everyone had finished, so Rav Padva, shall say gesund, Rav Padva Shlita turned around and he said, nay, David is gerecht. Finished, that was the end of it. But the question is, actually, making sure that this happens. Now, in a shop situation, this is something that is easier to do. If it's done, it should be done, and if it's done, it's much easier because of the nature of the insurance. When it comes to household, individual, private people selling chometz, it didn't used to be such a problem because it was small amounts. People who sold things didn't have that much chometz left over. Whatever they had, it didn't amount to anything significant. But in recent years, anybody who's involved in selling chometz and has asked people who are coming to sell the chometz to identify what they're selling, which is another issue. If you go online and you are Mr. Ploini Almoini, you're Mr. Anonymous, and you're selling an unspecified, an undescribed, and an unquantified amount of chometz, and you're selling it to an unknown, a non-Jew somewhere, the time you've finished, that's not a sale, surely. Again, all your chometz, you've been there with a toothpick if you have, getting rid of the last bit of mamoshes, you've covered everything, all your shyness and everything else and the else, then you've got this chometz that you've... So it doesn't make any sense. What are these online sales? We'll do it all for you, just press the button, just click here. What is all that? That is probably a better than nothing offer, suggestion, provision for people who wouldn't otherwise sell their chometz. They just keep it. And Rahman Lishadi will be over Pesach. But for people who are serious about doing things properly, so then it has to be a sale whereby things are described, clearly described, what you're selling, where it is, roughly how much it's worth, where the key is, for the non-Jew to come along and pick it up if he wants to, it's his. You can come along Chol HaMoed, Gezun Tehet, and maybe even on Yom Tov, and come and maybe get an answer. We might have a problem with him. No, Yom Tov's okay, but first day Yom Tov this year, which is Shabbos, might be more of a problem with taking things out of your house that belong. But apart from that, There's absolutely, he's got to actually feel that they're his and that he can pick them up at any time. So, if it's non-specified, so now we've had specified lists, and you'd be surprised what people are selling. Many people have substantial whiskey collections. So once you get whiskey collections, I've had somebody, a couple of years ago, somebody came to me and they specified what they had and they wanted to tell me where it was, how many bottles of whiskey, and then how much it was worth. £48,000. £48,000 of whiskey. Yes, it wasn't for drinking. And for one person who sells Chometz every year, sells things, he's got two bottles of whiskey. Two bottles of whiskey. That's all. Two bottles of whiskey. How much do you think they're worth? They're worth over £3,000 each. They're in a safe. So that's the book. That's the book value for these things. He didn't buy it to drink it. It'd be a baltashlis to drink it. He bought it. He bought it in order to sell it. Oh, it's an investment, right? Crazy world, right? There we are. So now the question is the goy happy to buy these two bottles of whiskey? Again, they get knocked over. It's right, or the wind blows. The window's open. The wind blows, and it, whatever it is, something happens to them. So is he really taking this risk? What's going on? So therefore, there was the need to think about ways possibly of including the goy in your household insurance. Of course, provided that this whiskey is insured. Yes, whether it's included now, so maybe it needs a special, maybe it itself needs to be itemized and to have a special, so to be included in there. But provided that these expensive collections are actually insured, then the question is to be able to get the goy insured under the schedule. I'll just quickly mention, Dine Raskin, I had a word with Dine Raskin after I was told what he mentioned, and the truth of the matter is there's a brilliant idea in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. That's where he pointed me to. The Shulchan Aruch Rav has a brilliant idea. It seems that he thought of just this problem. He doesn't explain so much of the problem the way we've explained it now, but what he puts in there is a brilliant idea. He's obviously concerned about this Achrayis Shulchan. It's at the back of the new Shulchan Aruch Rav. Is over there. He explains it. He's got a shtar there, and there he puts in this Orid Kabbalim that Dine Raskin talked about. Basically, exactly this problem is the goy doesn't want to take the achrayas for this chometz. And if you put it upon him, he doesn't really mean it. How do we get him to really mean it and to really feel comfortable with buying our chometz? So he has a very good, a brilliant suggestion. The suggestion is that another Yisroel actually doesn't take achrayas for the chometz. And that's somebody asked over here. Absolutely right. It's no use if I've got chometz, I send it to the goy, and Reuven takes achrayas for my chometz. So then Reuven's in trouble. That doesn't work. What Shulchan Aruch Rav says is Reuven just indemnifies the goy for the value of the chometz that he's bought. So Reuven doesn't have any direct achrayas for the chometz. It's just if the goy ends up having to pay for the chometz that got lost or stolen or whatever it is, then Reuven will pick up the bill. And therefore, that's why Dan Raskin talked about Keserets of Bikiyumoi, and that's a question of its own accord, because there's an indirect desire to that the chometz remains intact. But there's no direct achrayas, and I can't go to Reuven and claim directly from him. It's just a question of picking up the bill. Ah, you might tanya, but what have we solved? If there's a problem of Gemiras Das, of the Goy, that he doesn't want to take a chrayas for £48,000 worth of chometz, so then, why is Reuven? Aren't we kicking the can down the lane? That's all we're doing, we're just kicking it. Yes, that's all we're doing. We've got the same problem further on. The answer is, the Shulchan Aruch Rav doesn't say anything, but when I saw it on Friday, I thought to myself, maybe, yes, the answer is, Reuven's Gemiras Das, to be able to take achrayas for this, he really doesn't want to take achrayas for this. But, as long as the goy's happy, that the goy feels that I'm not going to be culpable for for these £48,000, or if it's a shop's value, but the shop is something we can sort out anyway. But if it's personal liability, if it is, then, so it's true, the guy feels that he is not going to be held responsible. So although halachically he's got the risk, but he's got somebody else who's going to cover that risk for him, not directly, but indirectly. And then you get a situation where the goy's gemiras das is intact, and yet what's going on over there with the Am Yisrael, okay, that was his suggestion of trying to deal with it. I haven't seen any mechiras chometz forms. I'm sure you'll find that Chabad have got it included, but I haven't seen any other mechiras chometz forms, including this mechanism, shall we call it, to be able to do this. And therefore, if it doesn't include the mechanism, then it leaves the problem as it is, leaves the problem exposed. That mechanism is something that we can discuss. Maybe the whole thing is something which is plastic, which is not as it was. It's the whole thing smacks of being non-real. And when you're dealing with something as important, making sure that the chometz is really out of your rishus. So maybe this is something you don't want to go into. But the design of the Shulchan Aruch Rav is quite a brilliant idea. But the only thing is, so even if the Reuven's Gemiras Das isn't what it should be, that's between Reuven and the Goy. But the main thing is, between the Goy and us, the intent is intact. That's the design. A better design would be to have the Goy insured under your own insurance policy. Yeah. The only thing to bear in mind is that everybody's home insurance or contents insurance, in practice, you're not insured for the first few £100. In reality, either you've got an excess, and even if you haven't got an excess, the premium would go up. So unless it's quite a significant claim, you wouldn't claim for it anyway. So in practice, it is as good as not being insured. But maybe at that threshold, again, the risk is spread. And once the risk is spread, therefore that's it. So it will certainly deal with people who have £2,000 or £3,000. It's quite common for people to write down £2,000 or £3,000 worth of whiskey holdings. Don't ask me what's going on, but this is what people are doing. And therefore, that type of thing, that policy should ensure. I hope that this will be actually included at the higher level. And Mr. Bernard Bergman, who works for Aviva, so he had an interesting idea, and we hope we're going to try and include it, is in the British, in the Association for British Insurers, the ABI, at that level, if it could be included as being a standard inclusion for people who sell their chometz just for Pesach, that the non-Jew, there is a contract and he's included in the sale, that the named non-Jew would be included in the policy, it's actually no greater risk for the insurers, because it clearly states in the contract put together that actually the chometz mustn't be removed from your property, and therefore, it's just a change in ownership, but there's no change in risk. And therefore, it's just a technicality that if there is a claim against that chometz, so then the claim is the goy's claim, the payout is to the goy and not to you. You're looking a bit...
Yeah, because a guarantor, at the end of the day, he can take possession of the property. If the insurance company pays you out and then the thing gets found, the insurance company takes the ownership of the found thing. So the guarantor has always got a connection with this object, and he might finish up in his possession.
So it's fine, but the insurance company is the guarantor. I am not the guarantor. I've sold my chometz to John Smith the Goy. So John Smith the Goy is the proud owner of my chometz. And what we want to achieve is that John Smith should be covered by... Yes, he should be covered by my insurers. So he's insured.
In the policy that says the property is going to be your possession, it's going to belong to you.
That's exactly what we're trying to effect a change. But where it's been sold with a valid sale of chometz agreement, then where the policyholder is named as being one of the sellers, then the named purchaser, i.e. John Smith, will be the owner and included under the policy for the duration of the time of sale. Remember, the goy doesn't have to buy back.
You want to put the words
he doesn't
non-Jew?
Have to buy back.
You want
sorry?
To put the words non-Jew in the policy?
Absolutely.
You never get away with it.
Okay, your time will tell. We'll talk again and see what happens.
Yeah. In Eretz Israel, when the children come to make you Jewish, I suppose you're back in the Shulchan Aruch Aruch situation.
Yeah, you mean if you have insurers in Eretz Israel, when you have that situation, so they themselves are Jewish, is no good at all. Exactly. That won't work in Eretz Yisrael. That won't work in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it won't work. It won't work at all. Quite right. So in such a case, that you'd have to. I mean, I tell you, the truth of the matter is, the ultimate best way of selling your chometz to the goy is literally to sell it to him. If you've really got that type of thing, and you say to the goy, this is yours, take it away. He takes it away, and that's it. So then, but again, for shops or for large holdings, it isn't, and you can't do it for everyone. So one of the perks of the Rabbonus is, that's actually what I do with the goy. I actually give it to him and he takes it away, and that's, I tell him, I've got absolutely no sentimental attachment in any shape or form to this chometz whatsoever. You're welcome to keep it. I don't need to see it again. You're very welcome. And after Pesach, I tell him that he once came to me on Shvi Shal Pesach in the evening. He said, Shul caretaker, he came to me, Shvi Shal Pesach, and he says to me in Shul, he says, what time would you like me to come tomorrow night? That was the first year I did it. And I said to him, no, I told him, you don't have to come to me at all. I told him, it's yours. I said to him, if you want to sell it back to me and the people who sold through me want to buy it again, that we can discuss tomorrow night at such and such a time. So that was the way it is, because I wanted to train him. I realized that he didn't chap the first year. He didn't chap that this was an unconditional sale, and it must be, because matona amnas lahachzir, or a meche amnas lahachzir, it doesn't work. It's not chal, it's explicit in Simon Tov Memches, that you mustn't do it that way. I'll just finish off for a moment. I'll tell you, 3 years ago, I came home after Pesach, and Mitzvah Yontif, and come rushing home, because I know that the goy. So indeed, I'd park outside my house, and there's the goy's car outside the house. So I peep in the window, and there he is sitting in the driving seat. So I knock on the window, and I said to him, Ashwin, it's the Indian goy. I said to him, Ashwin, I told him, why are you sitting here? Come inside the house. So he says to me, no, I'm thinking. See, I told him, what are you thinking about? He says, I haven't decided yet whether I want to sell the chometz back to you. So you'd be well trained. So I said to him, Ashwin, you've taken a whole burden off my shoulders, I told him. I didn't know how to break this to you, but the people who sold through me told me they haven't decided whether they want to buy it back from you. So I said, look, in the meantime, we'll both have a think about it, and I'm going to make Havdalah, so I told him. So after Havdalah, then I knock on the door, and I told him, no, what do you think, Ashwin? So he says, you know, I think I've decided I'm going to sell it back to you. So that was, he understands what we want. He understands what we want from this. So therefore, this is the way. Yeah, sorry, you want to ask?
Yeah, so if Reuven is indemnifying the owner,
yes.
Reuven is obviously Yid. Why can't the owner indemnify the goy? And he's covered by his insurance and you don't have to change things.
Because, you mean it's basically the Shulchan Aruch Rav's concept. That you're not actually taking achrayus for the chometz, but you're indemnifying the goy for the financial payout that he would have to pay. Yes, I suppose it could be, but he wanted to take somebody else. Why the Shulchan Aruch? Maybe to distance the owner from any risk. And if it's somebody else, just a financial risk. In practice, I don't know of any shtoris that actually includes the Shulchan Aruch Rav's idea. I'll just mention, since it's this year and the year of Shemitah, I'll just mention that, actually ran out of time, but just the Mechiras Chometz is so terribly different to the Heter Mechira. And people should be aware of it when you're buying lettuces, when you're buying vegetables, whatever it might be. If I can't sell my chometz, so then it goes down the drain. If it's whiskey, it goes in the bin. If it's if it's dry products or whatever it is, that's my option. Very simply, I can either eat it dispose of it or sell it to the goy. And therefore, I've got full intention to sell it to whatever it is to the goy. Absolutely full intention. The only, right, I've got no problem with Gemara's Das because I know otherwise, that's it. It goes into the bin. So I really want to sell it. Whereas, when it comes to the din of Shmita on Eretz Yisrael, if a Jewish farmer were told that if you don't, if you you're selling it, unconditional sale, you're not going to get it back. And which is the only way a sale is a bona fide sale. So therefore, if that's the case, so of course the Jewish farmer is not going to throw away 6 years for one, and is even that 1 year, the fruits can all be used. Whatever grows, if it's an orchard, it can be used. And the seventh year, anyway, there's a rotation, crop rotation, and there's thing. So therefore, the problem with the Hetzer Mechira is there's absolutely no doubt about it. There's no Gemiras Das of the sellers. The buyers, they would dearly, the Arabs, if you put Eretz Israel up for sale, the Arab League of Nations would definitely, they would be scooped up in a second, and you'd never see it again. Absolutely. Therefore, the problem there is Gemiras Das. So therefore, the Heter Mechira, for a whole number of reasons, is something that really isn't a Heter, and it really isn't a Mechira. And therefore, that is something that you should keep very far away from. However, the lettuces that say Yevul Nochri, which have got the Datz Hechsher, those, there's a whole different machlokas. We've run out of time, but there's a whole different machlokas about whether it's got Kedusha Shvius or not got Kedusha Shvius. Those who wish to be Machmir, by all means, treat it with Kedusha Shvius, which means finish it up, don't throw it in the bin. If there's any left over, leave it to go bad first. But there's no reason not to buy that. That's got a Badatz Hechsha, a good Hechsha, the Minig in Yerushalayim. Indeed, the Psak of Rabbi Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman was to be Semich that Het Yevul Nochri. It's been grown by, genuinely grown by Arab, by non-Jewish farmers. That's perfectly all right. So that you can use. But if there's anything which says Hetzer Mechira, please don't use it. Don't buy it and don't use it, because that's very different to the Mechiras Chometz, which is, if you do it properly, a bona fide sale, and removes it from your rishus.